Good morning. My name's Judy and I'm bringing the Bible reading this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, would you like to turn to Psalm 107 and we're reading verses 1 to 32. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies. For he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. They say, get an evil person to turn against him. Send an accuser. Hang on. That's not right. Mr. Page, sorry. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That is why he broke them with hard labour. They fell and no one was there to help them. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. For he broke down their prison gates of bronze. He cut apart their bars of iron. Some were fools. They rebelled and suffered for their sins. They couldn't stand the thought of food, and they were knocking on death's door. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Some went off to sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on deepest seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbour. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them exalt him publicly before the congregation and before the leaders of the nation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this morning for your word, for the fact that we are able to read it freely without fear of condemnation and persecution. And we pray this morning as we study your word, as we listen to Vaughan speak the message that you have given to him, that you will open our hearts with gratefulness and thanksgiving to receive whatever it is your Holy Spirit has to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Vaughan, and I'll be sharing God's word with you today. You'll notice around the room here that just over the last couple of weeks, we've been doing some discussions after the message, and so we've had some wonderful things that people have shared over the last few weeks. It's been so encouraging and such a blessing. And so we really encourage you to form groups around afterwards. And we'll facilitate some discussion around. And if you can't move to a different area, then please, we'll make a group around you. There are some padded seats over here, if that's helpful for you. But also, we will just go around and just share some reflections on the Psalms that we've been going through. Let's pray before we begin. Our loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word given to us. Thank you for the way that it teaches us, it guides us, it corrects us and challenges us. Lord, we pray that you will bless us now as we come before you in your word and help us to draw nearer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can see from all the bags at the front, school is back. School is back. And I can see a rosy glow in parents' faces around the place now that children have gone back. Well, maybe after about 9 a.m. after the morning chaos and dropping the kids off at school and all of that has taken place. And teachers. Yes, there are quite a few teachers here among us. And we've been bracing ourselves for the oncoming wave, that is 2019. And that wave has now broken and we are now all being swept along with the tide. And we will see you again in December. And in my classes, I'm known to tell the odd story or two. And so I'd like to start with one this morning. So just take a moment just to settle and we'll get started. It's my teacher's voice going. Let me tell you a story. Many years ago, during the 1740s, there was a young man who, when he was 11 years old, he went to work at sea on the merchant trading vessels crossing the Atlantic. After a few years, the young man fell in among some slave traders, transporting people from West Africa to grueling labour on the islands of the Caribbean. And he found himself being apprenticed by some of these slave traders, and they were abusive, and they were cruel, and they were dishonest. And sadly, he became like them, herding men, women, and children onto tightly packed ships. He later described it with these words: "The slaves lie close to each other, like books on a shelf. The poor creatures are cramped for room and chained two together by their hands and feet. This makes it difficult for them to turn or move, to attempt to rise or lie down without hurting themselves or each other." Now, eventually, the boy, now a young man, he left to return to England. During the voyage, the ship was caught in a violent storm and the ship was in serious danger of sinking. Now, in the midst of this, in some kind of epiphany, he cried out to God. He cried out to God to save him. And God delivered him out of his distress. Now, this was a powerful moment because, as some of you might have recognised, this young man was John Newton, who in time turned his life around and became an influential minister of the gospel. Importantly, it was through John Newton, through his first-hand experience of the countless cruelties of slavery, he was able to speak out against the cruelties, the evils of the slave trade, and encourage a young William Wilberforce to pursue the abolition of slavery, which passed the British Parliament in 1807. And it was John Newton who penned the wonderful and moving words of Amazing Grace that we sang just now. "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." So from the depths of despair, he cried out to God. And he understood that God had responded. And he'd responded with amazing grace given freely through the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been spending some time looking at the Psalms during our summer sermon series. Now, the Psalms are wonderful to reflect upon because they paint such vivid pictures of what it is to be a person in this world. And they're honest. Many describe times of happiness and blessing and celebration, yet many others sit in a place of fear and confusion and sorrow and grief, or just a heartfelt cry out to God. And so the wonder and beauty of the Psalms is that no matter in what state we find ourselves, we can find a psalm that can meet us where we are. And this is a unique and wonderful gift in the Bible. And in every case, every situation depicted in the Psalms, we learn something about God. We learn something about his character. We learn something about his purposes. We're reminded of his sovereignty and that he cares for us. And so the psalm that we're looking at today is Psalm 107, and in particular verses 1 to 32. And you might like to keep it open in front of you, or if you have a Bible with you, or switch it on your phone if you have an app for that. Psalm 107 stands out to me because it paints quite vivid pictures. I'm quite a visual person, so they stand out to me wonderfully. And it's layered in the way that it's written. You might have picked up on this as we read through it this morning. It's written in a way that's not often seen in the rest of the Psalms. It's primarily a psalm of thanksgiving. And you might have noticed that it moves between moments of great lament, great sorrow and suffering, and then it's interspersed with a beautiful refrain that calls us to remember God's everlasting faithfulness and to respond with praise and worship. And before diving in, and for a bit of context, reading the Psalms around it, the general flow of the book up to this point is that the people of Israel have been scattered and they've spent many years in exile. The Psalms immediately leading up to 107, if you have a look just quickly back to 105 and 106, they're written by a people that were struggling just to cling on to the fragments of what it means to be God's people. They're in a foreign country, away from their land and nation. They'd been separated from friends and family. The language and customs around them were strange, and they were compelled to worship other gods and idols. And the Psalms written during this period of exile express anguish towards the situation the nation finds itself in. Psalm 106 ends at around verse 47 with the cry, "Save us, O Lord our God, gather us from among the nations," a desperate cry. And so Psalm 107, which is the first in a new section, which is book 5 as it's marked in some translations, it appears to have been written following the return of Israel from exile to Jerusalem, following a decree from King Cyrus of Persia. And you can read about this in the end of 2 Chronicles at the start of the book of Ezra. The nation's been restored, and Psalm 107 appears to have been written in direct answer to the plea at the end of Psalm 106. It begins, "I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those he redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." The opening lines set the scene for the overarching theme of the psalm, which is give thanks. Why? "For the Lord God is good. His steadfast love endures forever." His steadfast love endures forever. The rest of the psalm, up to the end of verse 32, is very carefully and intentionally structured, and this structure builds around the central idea of the steadfast love of God. You might notice, looking at the next few lines, that it has what looks like verses and a chorus that repeats in between, like the songs that we've been singing this morning. Let's have a look at it together. Verses 4 and 5. A lament. "Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away." And this is then followed by a chorus. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress." And the chorus continues. "He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." Notice here that God answers them by addressing them directly in their need. He satisfies them in their thirst and he fills them in their hunger. And then the cycle repeats again. A lament in verses 10 to 12. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains. This was because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. And then the chorus repeats with thanksgiving, using the same words and structure as before. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, and he broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for humankind. He breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. So can you see now the repeating structure of the psalm here? It continues on through another few cycles, always finishing with the same refrain of thanksgiving for the steadfast love of God. So we see that this psalm is laid out in layers that might resemble a chocolate cake or a licorice allsort. Now, I quite like the licorice allsort illustration because I'm quite fond of licorice allsorts. And if you want to give Chris a nice little gift or a surprise, a bag of licorice allsorts will go a long way, trust me. So I've got some examples of some yummy licorice allsorts right here. If people start watering. Here's something interesting about licorice allsorts. There's a particular kind of licorice allsort that, and they've kind of disappeared off the shelves recently. And these were our favourite ones. And they were the Darryl Lee licorice allsorts. A few nodding heads around. But recently, and they just went missing, but recently they've turned up in Aldi of all places. And I saw one randomly at the chemist as well, just as I was queuing. And so, Caleb, I might have a chat to you about some networks about how to source these things, because I'm not sure. But we've got... I do lead an interesting life, generally. But one day, I was reading the side of a packet of these licorice allsorts. And it said that the original licorice allsort was made to commemorate the capture of the Kelly Gang. And apparently, the original was only made in layers of black and white stripes, and it was called the Jailbird Suite. And the black stripes of licorice representing the bars of the prison. Now, how much you can trust stories written on the side of a bag of lollies is up to you. But I think that if they were into making commemorative lollies at the time of the writing of Psalm 107, they could have very appropriately handed around licorice all sorts as they read it out. Sorry, I couldn't source enough licorice all sorts to give one to everybody to munch on at the moment, so I do apologise for that. There are dark stripes expressing these layers of lament and suffering. And then there are brightly coloured stripes representing the choruses of praise and thanksgiving to God for his steadfast love. Now, we don't have time to work our way through each layer in detail, but I'd like to reflect on each image briefly and just note a few things that stand out. The first lament is one of separation, a separation from God, wandering, aimless and lost. Having turned away from God, the realisation comes that nothing is familiar anymore. It's like deciding to veer off from a walking track or trying to navigate your way through a strange city without a map. The psalmist just doesn't know where to turn. The second lament is one of imprisonment, being trapped, powerless to overcome the darkness and deepest despair. In rebellion against God, they were given over to endure the bitterness of hard labour, alone. The third image is one of illness and affliction. With a modern mindset, it's difficult to uncover the root of this lament. However, it draws on the afflictions brought upon Israel and the nations in response to their defiance of God's sovereignty. There's lots to say on this one, but we don't have time for that today. But I just wanted to express this one is a cry expressing a separation from God. The fourth lament presents an image of a ship being tossed around by the sea, caught in a violent storm, and it calls to mind images of complete chaos and absolute fear and powerlessness. It very much echoes the anguish felt by Jonah as he attempted to flee from the presence of the Lord and the cries of Jesus' disciples tossed about in the storm on the lake. We note here in each of the laments that in the midst of these moments of complete desperation, having been brought to their knees, those bringing their testimony looked up and they brought their cries to God. And their cry is heard by God. And God responds. And God's response, it's expressed in the refrain, "And the Lord delivered them from their distress." And how does he do this? Well, have a look. In verse 7, "To those who hungered and thirsted in the wilderness, he led them by a straight way until they reached a city where they could settle." In verse 14, "To those in prison, toiling under heavy labour, he brought them out of utter darkness and broke away their chains." Verse 20, "To those suffering under the burdens of great affliction, he sent out his word and he healed them, delivering them from destruction." And in verse 29, "To those in peril on a stormy sea, he made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed." In the depths of their plight, even though it's a plight more often than not brought about by complete rebellion and dismissal of God, God's love is there. God's everlasting love is there. The father keenly scanning the horizon for any sign of the return of his lost son. God's everlasting love is there. God is present. And God hears their cries and he pours out his mercy upon them. And he meets them directly and specifically in their need. Do you hear what this Thanksgiving psalm is saying? It urges us to consider the faithfulness and the everlasting love of God. It tells us that despite humanity's unfaithfulness and rebelliousness towards him, God's love for his people endures forever. No matter how hard we try and how much we push back against him, God's love for his people, for you and for me, is unshaken. The psalm calls us to remember the fullness of the character of God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. It is to God that all praise and thanksgiving is given here. The everlasting and steadfast love of God is expressed throughout the Old and the New Testaments. Interestingly, God's responses to the laments of the psalm find their expression in the life and ministry of Jesus. The outcast and lost are welcomed home. The bound and enslaved are set free. The suffering and afflicted are healed. And the raging tempest is calm. But nowhere is the everlasting and steadfast love of God more clearly expressed than on the cross at Calvary. Here, whilst we were God's enemies, lost and seeking our own way, God sent his only Son, Jesus, to die in our place, to take upon himself the punishment for the sins of the whole world. And in rising to new life, he declared victory over the grave and offers us new life in relationship with God. Praise God for that. The cross calls us to remember that God is here. God's love is here. The cross reminds us that God has sent his Holy Spirit, the very presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter where we're at, no matter what we've done, no matter how far away from God we feel we are, the cross reminds us that everlasting and steadfast love of God is here, freely offered to us through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's give thanks for this precious love of God. Let's pray. Father, you knew us before all creation came to be. You spoke and gave form and life and meaning. You saw your creation and said, "It is good." Father, we look around us and see your glory revealed in what you have made. Soaring mountains, gentle rivers, lush green valleys. We read your word and we see your glory revealed in what you have done and continue to do. Father, that when we didn't know you, you loved us with a faithful and everlasting love. Father, that when we didn't want to know you, you loved us with a faithful and everlasting love. Father, that when we push you away and want to make it our own way, you love us with a faithful and everlasting love. Thank you that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, when you look on us, you see us not as broken vessels, but as you created us to be, formed in your image, purposed to know you, commissioned to praise your name and make you known. Remind us that this is not in our own strength, but with our eyes fixed on the sure hope of life in Jesus' name, the yes and amen of the cross. Thank you, Father. Amen.